This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey.
Hey, hey,
hey. Let's go Buffalo Chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
We never play it to the end. Why not once just play it to the end, right? That's what I was doing. That was the move, if you didn't know. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. Sal, how's your day going?
Pretty good. I had the show this morning in there. I was in there. Recorded a Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast with Matt Bove. And then I came home and I watched the soccer match while I was doing some work.
Oh, baby. Is this your white charger, by the way, in here?
No, I think it might be Jeremy's.
Okay.
It is not mine. I do not have that charger, but I noticed it while I was in there as well, and it's okay. Right where you sit. I know that.
I'll not steal it, just in case it belongs to someone someone we work with. I will not steal it. So what is the latest with the injury, Sal? I'm thinking first about Deion Dawkins not practicing. How close to, out? How likely or unlikely is Dawkins to play in this game? And then what would it look like, in your opinion, if he doesn't play?
Well, usually when you miss like the whole week, which he basically has, it's pretty unlikely you're going to play. However, we have seen that happen even recently. I remember just a few weeks ago, Tremaine Edmonds missed Wednesday and Thursday, was not on the injury report either. I mean, was on the injury report as a DNP. And then on Friday, he did practice and McDermott didn't rule him out. And then he was questionable and he played. And then he actually got hurt during the game again, which is where he missed another game. The last time he missed one, which was, a couple weeks ago. So then he missed, obviously, on Thursday. So I guess my point is, I wouldn't say it's like 100% chance he's out. I think it's trending that way. It's pretty unlikely. But we'll see where it goes. And if he is out, I think all of us saw the protection issues they had against the Detroit Lions when they had to shuffle everything. But let's keep a couple things in mind. After Deion Dawkins went out, obviously, just it looked really bad. But they are also missing Mitch Morse. So that moved Ryan Bates over to center. Mm-hmm. So they're playing with a backup guard, Greg Van Roten. And on top of all that, maybe more importantly, they basically had no practice that week, and the practice they did have, Deion Dawkins was there. They didn't game plan for not having Dawkins. They literally had to piece everything together during the middle of a game where they weren't even, necessarily planning on having that lineup. In this case, if Dawkins is out, at least you have an entire week of practice to prepare for that, game plan for that, and understand, what your role is. And I think that would obviously help.
Yeah, does he get credit for being as durable as he's been? So he plays 42% of the snaps in Detroit before being injured. Like, there's no game like that in his career except for games like week 18 games where they rested guys. But when he became a starter, he's never missed a game, I think, for the Bills at all. Right back to when he was a rookie. He didn't start right away, but he even played special teams in his rookie year a little bit, or second year a little bit. But once he became a full-time starter, middle of that first season, like, he's almost never come off the field. The vast majority of his games, we know, but 100% of the snaps. I think about Hyde and Poyer, or at least before this season, Sal, this way, just how, they're always out there. So is Dawkins.
Yeah, and I think that's a big reason why, Mike, they were very comfortable with giving him the contract extension. Mm-hmm. Obviously a very good player for them, a big part of their build when they drafted him in 2017, we've talked about availability, how important it is to this organization and this regime. And you go back and think about, you know, that draft. They obviously trade out of the spot, which becomes Mahomes. But they go down, they get Tre'Davious White. They trade up, they get Deion Dawkins in the second round. They get Matt Milano in the fifth round. Zay Jones didn't work out so well then, but, you know, now you see that he's on, you know, he's doing a nice job. He's still in the league. Pretty good draft there. And I think that, you know, all of those guys up until what you saw with Tre'Davious White and his injury last year, and even Matt Milano, you know, I know he's missed some games. He's actually been pretty durable throughout his career. All those guys, a big reason why they were willing to extend them is because of their availability. And I think Deion is a great, you know, guy to kind of uphold to that. Hey, when you work hard, you're available for us, we're going to reward you.
So the plan would be Quessenberry at left tackle then, right?
I think so. Now, he did last year, actually, and Mike, now that I think about it, didn't Deion miss last year against the Patriots? He did. He missed two games, actually. He missed
Patriots and
Panthers last year because of COVID.
I fell for the 17-game season. That's right. It's 16. I forgot. 17. You're right. He missed one.
I think he missed two. Did he miss Carolina I'm looking at right now? I think he might have. I'm looking right now.
Played, but didn't start?
Okay, that's right. Here it is. This is a guy. He did not play in the Carolina game. Looking at his game logs. He dressed but did not start against New England. He did play. He came in. So he did miss the one game. But I think that was COVID-related against Carolina, to be quite honest with you. I have to remember correctly. The point is, though, your overall point is right about being durable in injuries. But if I remember back to that game, I think they flipped Spencer Brown over to the left side. Now, they didn't have Quessenberry, who has played that spot, Bulldog, you know, through like they do now, and he did go in last week. So I would think that would be plan B if he does not play.
Right. And what is that? I mean, he's a backup tackle. So there's obviously a downgrade. Is he more susceptible to one thing or the other? Does he deal with power well? Is it speed? Like what's the book on him as far as we know from the time he has had to fill in mostly for Spencer Brown this year?
Yeah, he's a pretty athletic guy, and that's what allows him to play all positions. Really, you know, both interior spots. I don't know about center as much, but he can play guard. He can play tackle. I don't think he's as physical as Deion. He's a guy that I think gets away with his athleticism, his length. He's a fairly long guy, you know, but you're going to need someone. Matthew Judon is, you know, leading the league in sacks. He's doing a great job, or at least he's right up there. He's doing a great job this year, and you know, he's not a power rusher. He's a speed rusher. So in that regard, if you're against him, you know, that would help you a little bit. But yeah, he's a different player than Deion. There's no doubt about it. And then there's also things you can do. You can obviously add a tight end to that side. You can use, you know, max protection to the backfield, Reggie Gilliam, someone like that. Mm-hmm. You know, but at least, like I said, they'll have a good week of practice to kind of prepare for this. But I would say that, you know, Quessenberry, to me, looks like he would be the number one guy to go in there.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Sal, how about Tre'Davious White and the state of the secondary going into New England?
Super interested in what, you know, he is going to do and what his amount of snaps is going to be. You know what it felt like last week talking with, you know, some people around the media? Almost like they treated it like, this is Thursday's game, treated it like a preseason game. Go in for two series, come out. You know, like you do with starters in the preseason. Mm-hmm. You go in for two series, you come out. Later in the game, Christian Benford gets hurt. He's now on IR. Tre'Davious doesn't even go back in. It was Kyrie Elam, who hadn't played all game. He had been also nursing an injury. He's the one that went in. Now, I checked during the game. There was no injury status on Tre'Davious. It simply was he was not playing after those first two series. So my assumption is that was the plan going into the game because they didn't go back to him. Sean McDermott, after the game, also said he looked strong and physical. I even saw him blitz on a play, actually. We get to this week. He's not on the injury report. So to me, I'm just kind of reading the tea leaves here where I think the arrow's got to be pointing up as far as what his role is and how much he's going to play. And now that Christian Benford is on IR and he's going to be out, I think that that's even more important that you have Tre'Davious in that role to be able to play more.
Right. You're down to Tre'Davious White, Elam, and Dane Jackson on the outside. Am I missing someone?
Xavier Rhodes actually is now signed to the 53-man roster.
Thank you. Yeah, okay. So there is another body if they need it. Sal, how much have you thought so far? I mean, it's you know, these weeks are all screwed up with Thursday games and holidays and all the stuff we've got. But I'm thinking a lot and sounding like it. The Belichick's defense has not had an antidote for Josh Allen and this Bills offense, really, in multiple meetings in a row now, aside from the wind disaster on Monday Night Football last December. The Patriots are getting a lot of credit for the defense. You know, they're doing a good job. Their numbers are really good. But I know, like, in the aftermath of these games the last few years, you and I very much agreed about they just don't have the foot speed sideline to sideline to really combat what the Bills can throw on the field. And the Bills are not like a road racing super fast team, but they just can't. They don't have the speed defensively to get there. What do you think about that part of this matchup going into this game?
So I actually look at it from a big picture standpoint. It's not just, you know, Josh Allen and the Bills and what they've been able to do. And I agree with you. It's partly because of the foot speed. And that is right. They have not been the fastest defense. They're very technically sound. We know that, you know, because they're very well coached. They have a great defense as far as the numbers. If you go back and look, actually, and this actually is true for a long time, but it's really shown up the last few years and even this year, Belichick defenses struggle against mobile quarterbacks. Justin Fields, remember what happened that Monday night when they played against them, right? Go back and look at some of the games. Now, there's been games where they've shut some down, but Josh Allen is the poster child for mobile quarterbacks succeeding against Bill Belichick defenses. And I believe it's partly because his defense is predicated on, it's not necessarily the speed. It's very well coached. It's kind of being in your position. And then you're just going against these really incredible high-end athletes that can wind up, you know, beating people. But I think what happens is he concentrates so much on taking away your best outside weapon or your best running back that by adding, you know, nuances, double teams, whatever you want to say, and schematically trying to take them away, I think you're basically playing 10 against 11, leaving the quarterback open to kind of do more stuff. And I think Josh has really taken advantage of that. I also think that's why Devin Singletary had a nice game last year by doing some dump downs and stuff like that. They're trying to take away Stephon Diggs. There are things you can do. And I think, guys, that this is a game, again, where maybe we're going to see Josh Allen start running again. We saw a few designed runs last week. Go back and look at what he was able to do in New England last year. Maybe not so much in the playoff game. They didn't need him to, but he had a couple of early runs that were really significant. But I think it's a mobile quarterback issue for Bill Belichick's teams, to be honest with you.
I think that game in New England last year, it's one of the best Allen and Bills games. The playoff game was just off the charts with the success they had, and you know the fact that it was so cold and the playoffs, and New England then just couldn't keep up. But that game in New England did keep up. Like, that was a game. Damian Harris scored three times, and all the way to the end, Allen and the Bills had to be good, and they were. So that gives me more confidence for them. Not that I need too much more confidence for them this week, remembering that game in Foxborough last December. Having said that, Sal, like I'm sort of talking like I'm showing you what kind of confidence I have in this game. I don't have all the confidence. Like, the fact that it's 4.5 for me, and this can certainly be debated, but it's a little bit of a sign, I think, that the bettors and the markets, which have at every turn been so high on the Bills, like, oh, they lost, so what? Super Bowl favorite. Oh, they barely beat Detroit, so what? Like, it's always, so it's been so sturdy. Now I don't know. Bulldog earlier to that point said, well, the Patriots are not the Lions, right? Like, it's a higher level of competition. I don't know how much higher it is. I think Detroit's kind of decent. And so I wonder if, you know, you're sensing concern out here, like in the public, or whether it would be these numbers or some other sign.
I think oftentimes I just think about it's the fact it's the Patriots and it's Belichick. It's name recognition. You know, they've had a nice season. They're not, like, you know, off the charts, incredible, but they are the fifth lowest scoring team in the league against, right? I mean, number five in points allowed. The Bills are number six. They're both right there, about 18 points a game allowed against each other. So I think that's part of it. You know, he's had this really good defense. Mac Jones has done a nice job, but yeah, probably. I mean, I think a lot of it might be the reaction of what we've seen from the Bills offense lately, Mike, which is it just hasn't had its best stuff. Josh Allen's been dealing with the elbow. You know, they seem to struggle and everything seems to be a grind. And you couple that with what I just said about Belichick and his coaching and his defense. That's probably it. I don't think it's because of the Patriots offense. I mean, I think their offense is struggling a lot. Look at their numbers. They are very middle of the pack, if not a little bit below average in points per game. But pretty much all the, you know, numbers suggest that they're, you know, bottom half of the league in a lot of the areas, including running the ball right now, which I thought they were going to hang their hat on, you know, running the ball this year. They just have not been a great team at running the ball. They were much better earlier in the year, it seemed like. They're even yards per play, yards per game, they're not getting a lot. Ramondre Stevenson is their best wide receiver even. You know, as far as catches, he has 50 catches. They love to use him in that James White role. So I think it's more of a collection of, when you go back to the betting and your point, Mike, that the Bills are struggling a bit on offense. Josh Allen's dealing with the elbow, and you're going against the Patriots and Bill Belichick, and that always, to me, comes with a little extra juice when it comes to the betting public.
Recognizing that a lot of, like, you know, talking about injuries or asking you about injuries can be guesswork. I mean, these teams are not exactly forthcoming, and the Bills are no exception. With that said, Sal, how significant, if at all, is it to you that Allen has practiced fully? There's no limitations, and we talked about this through the last few weeks, so that means, like, all the normal practice reps. So that seems like an elevation in status, and does maybe it signify that he's through the worst of it with this elbow injury?
I would say yes, it signifies he's probably through the worst of it. The fact that he's still on the injury report listed with the right elbow tells me that he, you know, he's still dealing with something. He's still getting treatment on it. We know that. Otherwise, he wouldn't have to be listed. So I think there's still something there that you have to always think about and maintain. But I do think it's a really good sign that he's a full participant. He's doing everything. When we were out there, I was out there on Monday watching practice, and we didn't get to watch much. Even this time of year, we're even basically watching less than we normally do. And he was right away just kind of throwing the ball like he normally would with his quarterback's coach, and just kind of throwing it over to trainers like they do at the normal start of practice, which we hadn't seen in a few weeks at all. He just wasn't throwing anything. So I do think that's significant. And obviously, I think last week, I keep going back to it, those designed runs towards the end of the game.
Yeah, right.
You know, I just think, you know, that's a sign to me that they're a little more comfortable with putting him in that position.
Do you guys know that this is the second of four straight Patriots games that are at night?
Yeah, I saw that the other day. Yeah. But, well, I think one of them is going to get flexed out, but scheduled-wise, you're right.
The Saturday?
Like, no, I think the Sunday night game might get flexed out.
Oh, it is a Sunday night. It is a Sunday night. Yeah. Okay, right. I misread that. They play Saturday the next week. Everybody, almost everybody does, because that's Christmas week. Next Monday night at Arizona, the following Sunday night at Las Vegas. You have another game in mind you think is going in for that? Is that why you say that, or just sort of the Patriots and the Raiders?
Yeah, I think it could be the Bills and Dolphins.
That's Bills Dolphins. Okay.
Right. I heard you talking about this on the Extra Point Show one day last week. Like, lay out for us what timing on that, and like what we're talking about. What are the possibilities, Sal? Because I don't know. I feel like I haven't been as up on it as I have been in other years.
So week 17. I'm sorry. I'd always do that because it's the 17th. Week 15, which is December 17th and 18th. There are a bunch of games obviously scheduled on the 18th at 1 p.m. There is also a Sunday night game scheduled that is Raiders-Patriots. Obviously, mm-hmm. The Josh McDaniels story and all that, you know, you would think play into it. Out of that schedule, there are five, however, games that are TBD, to be determined. Out of those five games, three of them will be played on Saturday. Now, last year it was said three games. They only put two. I have confirmed they are still planning on three games going on Saturday this year. The 1 o'clock window, the 4 o'clock window, and the 8 o'clock window. Dolphins-Bills is the most attractive matchup. So I think that has a very strong possibility of not only going to Saturday, but maybe Saturday night. I've poked around a little bit in the league. What I've been told is don't discount them also being flexed into Sunday night, because any game on the schedule, whether it's one of those five or another game already scheduled for Sunday, is still subject to normal flexing rules. We will know by next either Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday morning, I believe, at the latest. They have to give you 12 days. I would say for the last few years, they've actually done it a little bit before that, but we haven't heard anything yet. So they might be waiting for Thursday's result between the Bills and Patriots. They might be waiting for Sunday, but by next Tuesday or Wednesday, we'll know when that Dolphins game is going to be played. As of right now, it's TBD. I think it is a very strong possibility it's either Saturday night or Sunday night.
You're saying you don't expect Pittsburgh, Carolina to go to Sunday night? Is that what you're saying?
I am saying that. That is correct, Mike.
Come on. What a close matchup.
Yeah, here's the other four games, by the way, that could go on Saturday. Out of these five games, three of them are for sure going to Saturday. Dolphins-Bills, Ravens-Browns, which, hey, Deshaun comes back this week. Let's see. Colts-Vikings. Falcons-Saints. Look at the NFC South. You never know right now. And Giants-Commanders, which I...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Think is interesting. I also, by the way, would not discount Bills Dolphins at the 4 o'clock window on that Saturday, because I think that's a nice window for the NFL that they can draw some eyeballs.
I'll bet on Sunday for that. Sunday night for that, where you know, Saturday TV audiences are not as big. That's pretty cool to think about. Thank you, Sal. You're traveling tomorrow, right? I'm assuming.
I am. I'm still doing the Extra Point show and then taking off right after that. I will be in at the hotel tomorrow. So you guys want me, I'll be around. I'll be okay. Around tomorrow evening. I'll give you a heads up, probably around landing and getting to the hotel around 4 o'clock. So let me know if that's the case. And then Thursday, I will be doing the Extra Point show live from New England. And Joe will be here. And then I know you guys have the round table, and I'll be joining you during that.
Good. Thank you.
Okay.
There you go. That's our Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearance is always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
I don't need to see the Steelers anymore on primetime this year, but I do love watching George Pickens. He is one of these, and they said it last night, I think. Like, he got mad at a bad throw, or the ball didn't come his way. He's one of these guys, I think, that's going to be like a story all the time. And then you see him catch the one on the sideline, and I think, was it said or was it just in my head? Like, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
He's right. If he's right, if he's catching everything like that, you kind of, you know, he's got a point. What a player. What a rookie season he's having, George Pickens. Spectacular catches. 803-0550, the number. We'll do some Sabres coming up. Chad DeDominicis is going to join us at 6 o'clock on the heels of last night's loss. Like, how's it going with Don Granato in the lineup and the roster right now? Chad's a great guest for those kind of questions. So we'll analyze the Sabres at this point. They have games the next two nights at Detroit tomorrow, and then the Avalanche are here same night as the Bills game Thursday. But, I mean, the champs. So that'll be a challenge for fans to get their fill of both teams. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. You can reach us at 803-0550 here on WGR.
Yeah, probably his most complete game. Run and pass, which is obviously good to see, and he's worked hard. You know, he came off the injury earlier in the year there that he had. He was out multiple weeks, and he's worked hard to get himself back to where he is, and the work he's put in with Coach Washington and Marcus, and he's done a real good job.
Sean McDermott on Ed Oliver. Did I bring this up yesterday? So after the first quarter in Detroit, McDermott was interviewed and gave a short answer to a question about the defense, like execution, right? Like you wish you could bet. All the betting you do, you wish you could bet on what the answers are going to be, right? It's just, here's a question about what's not working, and here comes execution, or got to work harder, got to coach. It's like there's only four or five things it'll ever be.
We all got to be better.
Yeah. And then he was asked, now this was interesting, though. Follow-up question was about watching Allen run, and he said, slide. Get the first down. He was short in this interview. He's like, what do you want to see him do? I want to see him slide. Get the first down and go down. I guess Allen has really never gotten that message in 5 years. Right? Like, why he would say that, or just like.
I think he's been saying that for 5 years.
Yeah. I guess Allen doesn't really want to listen to it because he never does it.
No, I don't know. I wouldn't say never, but he's more often looking to like beat that last guy, and then he gets hung up, and then the trailing chasers catch up, and there's a dog pile, and like, you know, I can understand the coach watching that going like, dude,
Yeah.
I don't need linebackers catching up to you and getting free shots on you. Like that, sometimes that's how it feels. But Allen sometimes can't help himself. He's like, I can juke this DB. And then if it doesn't work, and like I said, the traffic catches up to him, you get more collisions than you certainly would like. But I don't think it's changing anytime soon. And I was glad to hear Sal reference like the designed runs at the end. Like we've talked a lot about how they have been reluctant to do it. Part of the reason I think you're getting full Josh Allen on Thursday is you kind of got him when they needed it in the fourth quarter at the end against Detroit. Like he was just barreling around the end like, okay, I'm going to pick up some more yards, make this field goal a little easier. And, you know, it was effective. And I feel like it like that I expect to be back on Thursday.
It was so easy. Even in that situation, like yeah. I always called it their best play. How did you feel about those two runs? Like it's just okay. I'm just going to run over here and gain yards and go out of bounds. I'm going to do that again.
Yep.
3 yards only on the first one, 9 on the second to get you to a 45-yard field goal to win the game. Okay, I'm just going to run over here and run out of bounds. Just don't worry about it. I got it. But how many times I wonder has McDermott told him about this sliding point? Does Allen know that his coach would say, yeah, I would rather have you slide there? He probably does know that. How does he handle it when McDermott tells him that? Like, does he sort of, oh, yeah, you're right. Does he sort of patronize him, or does he just be like, does he roll his eyes? Or you wouldn't want to get in trouble with the boss.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to, you know, then he walks away and walks with a teammate and tells his teammate, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I wonder. I don't know how far I want to venture into the thought I just had, but.
Let me do that New York voice again.
McDermott saying that, like, the forward-facing opinion of the organization through McDermott about him running is slide, protect yourself. Now, I'm not telling you organizationally they support him being reckless and insane and exposing himself to unnecessary hits. But it wouldn't surprise me if behind closed doors they all sort of look at each other and go, "That's part of the magic." I don't want to get in his head too much and just like you do you, man. Like this is working. Outwardly, I'm going to talk about how much I want you to protect yourself, but you're really not. We're not going to have a meeting about it. You know, it's okay.
Here, it's okay. I like that. Here's where I'll say I'll give Sean McDermott some friendly advice he doesn't want or need. There's another five-letter word that starts with S you could say instead of slide to that question. One-word answer. Score.
Score, right.
You know?
Right. We talked about this yesterday. Hurts on Sunday night. Like there were a couple of plays where you're just like, oh, I mean, okay, I understand why you went out of bounds. Like, it was going to be hard. You were definitely going to get hit. But, you know, we see Allen time and again. In that situation, it's like I'm cutting in. I'm going in, inside, not outside, because I think you don't think I'm going to go inside, and I have an advantage if I do that, and I'm going to try to score.
That was interesting. I know we did talk about that yesterday, but that was interesting to both of us. Like Hurts is so big and strong, and like he doesn't. It's closer to sliding what he did. Like he just took the path out of bounds. But so close to the end zone, also early in the game. Also, yeah. The Eagles just walked in on the next play both times, you know, like no biggie. Gainwell or Sanders, just whatever. Hurts is maybe thinking, like, we're already in. I'm just going to run out at the 5 because we're already in.
Right, we're just going to do that rugby scrum thing. Yeah. Just push whoever gets the ball into the end zone anyway, so why should I expose myself to a hit? Yeah, and maybe McDermott is sitting home watching that, nodding, going, yeah, okay, smart. I don't know.
I'm not complaining at all, far from it, about what these Bills are, but I still want someday for the coach to be like, I want every play to be a touchdown. I don't care about moving the sticks or ahead of the sticks or slide and give up more yards. Allen running is such a big part of their success, and the sliding point is fine, but it diminishes that. It sort of takes away from, you know, here would also be a cool answer from McDermott. Like, what did you see, coach, when you saw Allen running? I'm like, wasn't that cool? I could say that.
Yeah,
right. Isn't he good? Like, wasn't it cool? Like, he's tough. He's good. I love it. It was a good play for us.
McDermott turned into Chris Farley.
I love
remember that time where Allen ran? That was awesome.
Yeah. I love. What is this question? I love a 25-yard run. I don't care who it is. It was good for us. Like the best thing we did in the first quarter. That would have been fun. Matt is next. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Fantastic, Matt. Thank you for calling.
You know, the one area where I would really love to see more designed runs is from basically like what they call the green zone, like from the 10-yard line and inside it. Because at, like on those under Daboll, he would run those QB pin and pull or QB power sweeps to the outside and basically be untouched in the end zone. Like time after time, you'd see the runs. And under Dorsey, we never see them. And I'm just like, you're struggling in the red zone throwing interceptions. Against Detroit, they run an RPO, and Diggs is flashing wide open. But then you have McKenzie running a slant on the same side, and I'm like, why would you throw an RPO to the side where you bring an extra defender in there to muddy the throwing lane? I don't get it. And in that case, like I'm like, why don't you just run a QB power or a QB-designed run to the outside like they've done so many times and scored with it? And it's like it's almost like he's like, this is our best play, but we're never going to use it in the area where it works the best. And I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense.
Saving it for the games that really matter might be my best guess. I'm being a little cute, but maybe. We haven't talked about that much this year. I feel like we talked more about it last year. Because last year was like our second year with this offense, right? Like, well, look at these guys, right? Oh, they're so good. They're holding the good stuff back until they got to play Kansas City or New England when it really matters. I don't know. But I think the injury has been a part of it. I think as we get into December and, you know, the one seed is still in the window for them, I just think we're going to start seeing all the stuff that we're wondering where it is.
I think that's giving them a little too much credit. Actually, I mean, I think there are, if not real problems, there are issues. I love the one example the caller brought up with the RPO play. Like, I bet against the first year happened where Allen, you know, his rookie year where he ran for 8 or 9 touchdowns. And then the next year I have a friend who wanted to bet like how many it would be. I'm like, oh, come on. I was all condescending to him. Like, come on, regression. There's no way he's going to run for 9 touchdowns again. Then he did. And then the next year he came right back at me like, want to bet again? Yes. And then I brought that up to you and you're like, I'd bet with you. I'm like, okay. And I lost every single time. It would always like 8 touchdowns, 9 touchdowns, 7, whatever it was. Like Allen Jackson was out here spinning around and running for yards. Allen was running in the end zone.
You were done by like week 14 on that.
Yeah. Yeah, there were times I'd sit with you at the stadium or in the studio, and they're at the 2-yard line. All right, put another one up. This is just going to be obvious. They can't stop him. He's got 5 this year. 2 were in that Jet game. One was from way out, like 38 yards.
Yeah.
One was in the opener. Remember the one at the Rams where he got like, was it Bobby Wagner sort of carried him, tried
to? Yeah, right.
He just plowed through him. There was nothing easy about that.
Right.
You had one against the Lions. That was, you know, fine, sort of a draw kind of play, right?
It was a fumble. He dropped the snap.
Oh, right. Yeah, Romo was great on that, how that made the play for Allen because the lineman saw the ball on the ground and rushed for the ball. Yep. And I know I'm going out of order. The 5th one was in Baltimore, an 11-yard touchdown run in Baltimore. I mean, 11 yards. It's not one of these plays. I'm trying to remember it, and I can't right now. All right, timeout. Thanks again for the call, Matt. Chad DeDominicis on the Sabres at the top of the hour here on WGR. Okay, short one here. Chad DeDominicis on the Sabres next. He can tell us whether they're getting the most out of themselves, the Sabres, right now. Young, sure. Some talent, but like a loss like last night makes me want to question a few things. Bulldog is with me. I have a start-sit question, if you are available. It's the playoffs.
Wow. Sure, okay, yeah. nothing funny came to mind for me to do there. I just, when you said Bulldog is with me, and then I should have just not answered. You know, start-sit.
That's right.
Yeah.
I know that feeling.
No, it's football. I have opinions about football. What do you need to know?
Well, it's not the playoffs yet in most leagues, but it is at the old FFPC tournament stuff. And all right. Hey, Bulldog, I've got a question for you.
Yeah, Mike, what is it?
Who should I start? Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson?
Jackson, make a call.
Make a call. Right. Jackson has Denver. Watson at Houston in his debut.
I would play Jackson.
You would?
Yes. 100%.
How many guys would you play before Watson? Leaving, you know, I don't mean your personal feelings on it or mine, how many guys would you play above Watson in his first game? Do you sort of expect him to struggle at all?
Yeah, I expect him to be a disaster.
Really?
He hasn't played in almost 2 years.
A disaster?
Yeah.
Wow, we should bet that. What's a number? Like fantasy points or yards or what can we bet on that?
I'm not betting. I don't want to bet. I just want to yell about how much he sucks and I want him to collapse.
Okay, understood.
So I don't want to put my money behind it. I just want to yell about it because it feels righteous. Although I don't really feel that great about Lamar Jackson today either, sitting here, honestly, after his Sunday night tweet storm. But Watson, I legitimately think he'll struggle. Like, to get serious about it, like I think he's going to have a tough time.
I really don't. I mean, it's the Texans, too. I really don't. How amazing is it that it's the Texans? Maybe it's not a coincidence, but my partner, Louie, in these high-stakes games, he doesn't like Watson this week either. He's with you. He's like, I wouldn't start him anywhere. He's kind of talking like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know, a lot of us are out here sort of storing Deshaun Watson on our benches.
Waiting for an edge, right, sure. Like,
I've got a team with Watson and Murray, so he's going in. I mean, Murray's on bye.
Yeah.
But maybe not over Jackson. It's hard to bench Lamar Jackson for anybody.
Yeah. Even though it's Denver, I mean, he might run for 3 touchdowns.
He doesn't run anymore. Know. Like, when was his last good, really good fantasy game? This one was fine. Like, he got to 26 points or something like that. 89 yards. I'm talking like he never runs anymore, but that's not exactly right. So this one was fine. You'll take it. But his last smash was like week 2 or 3. I mean, it's not been an easy year for him. You know, if you have a fantasy team with him on it, it started great. And you're like, okay, well, we're talking MVP again. And then that really kind of stopped at the Bills game. Week 4, it kind of stopped. He lost Andrews. He lost Bateman. But not quite on that elite level. Not on the Hurts level.
No.
My friend Matt Schauff wants to start Trevor Lawrence over him. Lawrence has come on. Like,
what does Jacksonville have?
Detroit. Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
I would consider that way before I would consider Deshaun Watson.
Interesting. Okay. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah. I if it needs to be said, like, I appreciate you asking, but like the stakes that you're dealing with here make me a little uncomfortable.
I got my process.
You know how I do it. Whatever. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Fine. It should be the same decision though.
Yeah.
$5, $5,000, whatever. It should be the same call, right? Don't get distracted out
sure,
there.
Sure. I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't get distracted out there. Yeah. Chad DeDomenicis on the Sabres next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, and the update coming up here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.